Welcome to the Shred with Science podcast with your host, Dr. Chris Spearman, one of the world's leading online fitness coaches, an expert in metabolic correction, and a global cover model. Chris delves deep into the most up-to-date scientific literature to provide you with the tools you need to live a healthy, enjoyable, and educated lifestyle.
So productivity is a massive thing for all of us right now. And I think the debate on how productive am I being is always one that can go a little deeper. Transparently, what are some of the areas that you feel you can improve your productivity with more? And then what are some of the areas that you feel you've drastically improved when it comes to productivity?
I think some of the areas that I could improve more would be single focus tasks rather than, let's say, multitasking. Because that's like a, how do you phrase it? Let's say it's a way it kind of like cloaks your productivity in a sense. You go, oh, well, I'm doing a lot, but you don't actually get really anything done with multitasking rather than single focused tasks, right? So I feel that's an area that I could rapidly improve, because you know as well as I do, as well as everyone listening, you can have a lot of things to get done. And if you do a little bit of everything, you don't really complete anything. You don't get that satisfaction, that productivity, that dopamine rush from it. So it's probably an area that I could look to improve quite quickly. I think an area that I have improved, obviously thanks to a lot of conversations with you, is eliminating distractions is so important. It would just be
more things
throwing anyone, which would be people.
maybe, because I mean, sometimes people can be distractions, yeah. You know, especially if they're not in alignment with our goals and our vision and our biggest values. But give me some examples of distractions for you.
Well, organizing the iPhone is up there with one of the best single things that anyone can do. And I believe we'll probably get into that quite quickly in this. But organize the iPhone to eliminate or get rid of apps that are completely distracting and time consuming. What else do I do? Trying to schedule my day into times where it gets to like 5-10 minute breaks where I actually break. I don't take my phone with me. I have a coffee with my other half, or I'll go play with the dog for kind of 10 minutes rather than constantly feel like you're chasing the hamster wheel. That's definitely one thing. It's like maybe 90 minutes of deep work, 10 minute break, 90 minutes of deep work. Working in that kind of fashion is a fantastic way that I found to not feel like you're constantly running on a hamster wheel. Like you get a task done, you tick it off, then you give yourself a break, rather than what can happen is you could be trying to be doing a task and then you're on your phone, on Instagram, then getting back into the task, then you may go on YouTube and just nothing really gets done. So that's an area that I feel I have improved, an area that needs to be, is probably single focus tasks. What about yourself?
It's funny you say that, because especially over the last few weekends, I've been just working the whole time. And what I do is I'm like, oh, okay, well it can be lonely, right? So especially if I'm here by myself and I'm cracking on, I'm like, there's loads of work that I want to get done. So what I do is I'll put Netflix on the side. And what actually happens is the reason I'm putting Netflix on is because I'm like, all right, well, I can do something else while I'm working. And the truth is I would get more quality work done and more Netflix done if I just said, I'm going to watch Netflix for an hour and then I'm going to work for 3 hours. Then I'm going to watch Netflix for an hour. And it's not that I want to watch Netflix. It's just that something there, it's a lot of the tasks that I'm doing are quite difficult. And for example, if you're listening to this and you're trying to be productive, there are some things, for example, if you're knitting, and I use knitting as an example, not because I knit, because my mom used to knit all the time and she used to knit watching the TV. And I used to go, how can you just do two things at once? And because it was just so autonomous, she was able to just knit, like, you know, beautiful jumpers without needing to pay much attention. Well, some tasks that you do on a day-to-day basis, they may be like knitting, and some you really need to pay attention. And for example, like some of the stuff that we do, some email automations and integrations, various different software, and believe it or not, like coding, which I didn't have a Scooby-Doo what to do. And Wade's like, I don't know how you do that anymore. But stuff like that I do, and stuff like that I need to do, obviously, for the business and the websites. And, you know, we've got businesses all over the world now. So doing that and trying to watch a James Bond movie at the same time just doesn't really work. even if I'm not paying attention, it's still a distraction. So it's tough sometimes. You want a distraction because you want to kind of, you want to have a little bit of, oh, well, am I just sitting here doing this? And sometimes, so I completely agree. That's why I was smiling when you said that, because sometimes like I would be able to watch every Daniel Craig Bond in a day between 3 hour blocks of work and get way more done and watch them like, you know, to the fullest. So yeah, I think that's definitely something that, that I'm guilty of. I happened to give a talk to, a group of entrepreneurs this week, actually, end of last week. And, it was on, the schedule of becoming a seven-figure business owner. And essentially I was speaking to, professionals who, are growing their fitness business and their goals to hit seven figures. And I gave a breakdown or perspective of like what I do on a day-to-day basis and how I structure that. And I had a really interesting question, and it's one that I get asked a lot, is at what point do you completely adhere? So I'm talking about a schedule, right? At what point in time do you completely adhere to a schedule? And every time I say this answer, I get just a boom, just silence, just a complete and utter silence. And it was the best way that I could describe or explain the light bulb moment that went off in my mind when it hit me that a schedule is not something that you're supposed to stick to. And it's not something that I try and stick to. What a schedule is for me is when life gets in the way, like it always does, and you need to slip back into a something, that's when the schedule comes in most useful. And the example that I used was I was given the talk, and it was about 6:15. And I looked at my schedule as I was showing them and I said, listen, I'm not doing the thing that I would normally do at 6 because life gets in the way and I have this beautiful opportunity to speak to you guys. But what this schedule is for is if this ends in the next 15 minutes, well, I know exactly where I need to be at 6:30. And that for me was a massive light bulb moment. And I know we've spoken about this quite a lot, but I think that's definitely something to bear in mind. Today is another beautiful example is when you allot and you allocate free time. And I know you do this really well. I still struggle with this. I still have a time where it's imperative and it's important and it is more productive for me to remove myself from the laptop. As much as I may not want to, sometimes it is more productive that I do that because I will come up with better ideas when I'm away. So for me, I find it quite challenging to have an empty block of time. So I put pool, and as you've seen, I put pool and I go down to the pool and I try and listen to an audiobook or chill or just do something. And then I thought, you know what? I fancy going for a walk and maybe I'll go to the Cheesecake Factory, have a salad, of course, and diet soda. But I was like, wow, but I should be at the pool though. And then I thought, well, no, the pool is an arbitrary expression in my mind for switching off. So if today I want to switch off by going for a walk and go down to the Cheesecake Factory and have a chicken Caesar salad, well, that's bloody hell what I'll do right now. And I did. Mm-hmm. And I'm back perfectly in time to chat to you. So I think sometimes we set parameters in our life and the reason why we set them in the first place gets forgotten. And we're doing them for the sake of doing them rather than actually asking ourselves, oh, well, what was the point of doing this in the first place? And we've had meetings recently and, you know, we've got meetings every morning and we've decreased the time to 15 minutes. And that was tough for us. And it has been over the last few weeks. We're like, oh, really? But it forces us to be efficient. And ultimately, the whole point of having a meeting is that we increase our productivity for the rest of the day, not sucking the productivity by taking time out of all of our days. And I think that's something that I think definitely could be looked at a little bit more. You do this really well when you switch off, and I'm very aware and I have been aware for about how well you do that. I'm curious to know, is it still a struggle for you, or is that just because I know on Saturday, like you're doing your thing and you're off, and I'm always normally excited to go, oh, what you get up to on Saturday? And you know, you very much are able to put that barrier up. And I've noticed that makes you way more productive when you are in, let's say, in the office in inverted commas, because we're everywhere. How have you found that? And was that an easy transition for you, or is that something that you've just been really good at?
Nothing. It's always difficult to like switch off, especially with our line of work or any of the business owners. Like you could work every single day quite easily. There's always something you could do. But then bring in like exactly kind of your kind of terminology there. It's, I am so much better when I know I have time off, when I know I've got time to switch off, to recharge, to refresh, to do self-care, some fun things. Then it gets the fire motivated to kind of come back in, start, problem solve. And a lot of times when you're not thinking about work is sometimes when you have the light bulb moments. And I know you have it sometimes. We used to joke about when you used to have a shower and you used to come up with these random ideas, right? Every time you had a shower, you'd come up
it's
with
funny some because new, I don't have I don't have those ideas in this shower in Dubai. So maybe it's the one in Hampton.
Maybe it's the water in the UK. They got it. But there's always times where I was sort of switching off, and I always try to do something I enjoy when I switch off, which is, I think, tough for a lot of people. Like a lot of people will say when, like, let's say you get a day off and you don't really do much. You might just sit and watch TV and you kind of just stay at the house and maybe don't really do much. Like I always try and do something that gives me a dopamine, you know, gives me some sort of an endorphin rush that I feel I've even if it's like fun, I've achieved something, I've done something fun. Like I've started doing golf. I love going on long walks with the dog on the weekend. You've got me into escape rooms for the last couple of years, which I'm trying to chuck off as many as I possibly can.
That's a perfect example of me not being able to switch off. My brain still needs to be stimulated.
But that's a different way though, isn't it? Like is getting a brain stimulated in an escape room is very different to you and me problem solving in the business or expanding a different business and so on and so forth. And that's where a lot of people, I think, they struggle, where like with you and me, like I like an escape room, and I know you like, because you have to think, because you have to problem solve in that situation, so your mind doesn't go back to normal of work. It distracts you from that in a sense, where you can actually have a bit of fun and have some time to switch off. Again, why I like golf, very technical. I have to really pay attention and really think about what I'm doing, so I can't think about how the business is doing or how work or how my performances or the team's performances for that month. I can focus on that thing, which allows me to actually switch off. So that when I come back in Sunday or come back in, let's say a Thursday morning after maybe cinema for Wednesday night, I come back in ready and raring to go and refreshed. So I think that's one of the big things. And I always talk about when people schedule, when I always speak to our students, when you start your schedule, I always recommend, as you said, having a schedule, but it's not 100% like life. Self-care has to go in first. Your day off.
How would you define that for a lot of our, because that's something that I think people struggle with. And it's funny, right? Because I had a haircut this week. I mean, you sound like I have one
looking
every
sharp.
6 months. Well, I got an earwax, bro. And because I remember you saying that they upsold you, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, Bob's got this. I was like, you know what? If Wade's good enough for one, I'm good enough for one. And first one. It was a case of like, and it, I think it's why a lot of our, you know, a lot of our clients end up joining our program also. It's like, no, I'm giving so much to everyone else. It's important that I look after me. And ultimately, what's the point having a multi-six, seven, eight-figure business if you're not able to go, you know what, I'm worth spending some time on. I'm worth spending a little bit of this hard-earned cash on. And that's something that I just, even from an emotional perspective, even from a psychological perspective, but then also from an emotional perspective, it's really important because, and let alone the fact that, yeah, you know, you feel sharp, you work sharp, you act sharp, you make sharp decisions. Stuff like that's important. But give me some examples that you've, you know, and I know you speak in a lot of detail with, you know, some of the students that we work with personally, in our elite mentorship. What are some of the things that you find some of the guys doing on a week, monthly basis that is giving them that self-care?
So a lot of people now program in, obviously, more scheduling more walks more often, like getting that fresh air, getting out of the house, just being able to disconnect, putting on a podcast, putting on an audio book and go like doing a walk, but also being productive. Like they can learn a new skill. They can or listen to a podcast, like especially some of you are doing now. Like you can get in a good mindset when you listen to these things and then get back after 10 minutes in. A lot of people obviously, like, this is from you and myself, but it's also self-care on appearance. Right. There's one thing about obviously looking after your health in the sense of dropping body fat, building muscle mass, but also how you look in the mirror. So like a lot of them, obviously from myself, so I get my haircut, probably every 2 weeks. And the other week, so I'd say, so Wednesdays, I schedule in haircut. 1 week's haircut, next week's sunbed. The other week's haircut, the week after sunbed. That same time every week, oh, I have Wednesdays. I have self-care, right? It's always that. And a lot of people, a lot of students obviously picked up on that going, I feel better when I've got a tidier appearance, the beard's trimmed, like eyebrows are done or whatever. People can say it could be vanity in whatever sense, but if it makes me feel better and I perform better each and every single day, then it is the biggest no-brainer decision ever for me to go, I'm going to spend that hour on a Wednesday doing something that makes me feel better about myself, in a sense. And that's one thing that I pass on to a lot of them. A lot of them have started getting maybe more frequent trips to the barbers and stuff. And I speak to a lot of men. Men love a trip to the barbers.
Yeah.
Like it's a really nice occasion, right?
Every time you leave, like, ultimately we're here for return on investments, right? Like in life, in business, in health, in fitness, in relationships, and whatever it is. Every single time I leave the barber's seat, I say the same thing in my mind. This is the best return on investment that I make on a consistent basis in terms of what I get back and how I feel for the money that I put down. And the only other time I could say that was when I invested in my first coach to get in shape. And I didn't know that at the time. I only knew that a few months down the line when I saw the impact it had, not on my physique, but on my mindset and who I was as a human being. And you remember that period of my life was a massive, massive transformation for me. But ultimately, I think we need to take a step back sometimes as men and go, listen, you know, we're providing for everyone else. We're looking after our team. We're looking after our business. We're looking after our employees, our clients, our family, our friends. Well, who's looking after us? And, you know, you saying, I'm able to do this, I want to do this. And here's the thing, right? As men, we always look to elevate our status. I don't care what anyone says. It could be in how we look, in how we approach business, in the cars we drive, the watches we wear. And some people's value metric is different, but ultimately it's all status. How we are perceived in a boardroom, how we're perceived when we make a pitch about our new exciting program, our new pitch to investors. Status is such an integral part of what we try and strive for. Why, for example, why would we buy a $100,000 Rolex or drive a Lamborghini or a Rolls Royce or a Maserati? Because of the status that comes with it. What if we didn't need to buy anything to improve our status and we were able to elevate our human body and our physical being that will never be taken away? Now, drive your Rolls, wear your amazing Rolex, but imagine if you could just literally get out of bed, look in the mirror and go, I'm going to dominate today. And that's what I look like. And that's what I feel like. And you get out of the shower, you're getting ready. You look in the mirror and you're like, I'm 40, I'm 50, I'm 55, I'm 60. And I'm looking awesome. Because that is a status change that nobody can take away from you. That is something that nobody can steal. That is something that there's something so integrally unique about feeling that elevated status from your own physical body and your mind than anything else that you can buy, because you don't need, it's an incredible feeling that you do not need anything else. Like if you were in a jungle right now, right? If you were in the bottom of the ocean swimming, or you were in a cave, or you were on a beach, your status symbol is you and you're there. You don't need to rely on any other materialistic metrics for you to have that. And I think that's something that I sense a lot with a lot of our students. For sure. Is there any practical steps that you would say to people right now to really start focusing on maybe how to be more productive or how to integrate some of these things into their schedule from today onwards? So firstly, some weekly self-care. You've got your weekly date night. What else?
Of course, weekly self-care. I would then say, in a sense, like reorganize your iPhone. Like that's such a simple one to go through, but get rid of all distracting apps or move them to, I know what you do. You have, you organize your iPhone. That's like each screen's a different time of day when you're doing certain tasks, right? So between, what is it between like the morning time, you've got these apps which you'll use, yeah, and you flick it across to the next one.
So we have an amazing webinar on that. So if you guys want access to that, let us know. Maybe we'll leave a link below and you can reach out or send us an email and we'll give you access. But yeah, it's basically during whether I'm in working mode, whether I'm in chilling out mode, or whether I'm in personal development mode, I will just switch the screen and the different apps then are relevant, right?
One thing that is obviously like a mindset thing, but it's simple for each and every one of you, is the book Eat That Frog, right? And it is kind of the presentation. So it's, if you had to eat a frog every day, when would you do it? First thing in the morning, you'd get it and over and done with, rather than dwelling on it and thinking about it each and every single day. So prioritize your tasks in order of, let's say, frogs, right? What is that the biggest task that you need to get done today? Get it done first. Get it and tick it off, right? Or if you could only do one thing today, it's that frog. Get it done first. Get it done. Get the dopamine rush. Get the satisfaction of it. So organize and prioritize tasks around, like, let's say, comfort or importance would be like definitely something that I would add in. One thing that I would say on a lot of this as well, though, but this is specifically important for this, and it's something that you told me, is a lot of people listen to podcasts because it makes them feel productive. Do you remember you told me that? Right.
Yeah, but they don't action them.
Well, that's the thing, right? That's the thing. So it's, I don't want to give you guys a list of 50 things because it's too much to action. If you only action like the three things that we've gone through, you'll be changed.
Professionals are the worst for that. I've got a podcast for fitness professionals who want to scale and grow their business called the Fitness Coach Freedom Podcast, giving fitness professionals freedom in their life. And the amount of fitness professionals that listen to podcasts, and I'm like, did you action anything? And they're like, no. And I'm like, well, why are you wasting time? So if you're listening to this, it's probably because you're a high performance exec or a high performance human, and you're used to being efficient with the limited resources you have at your disposal. Make use of these, just a small few things, action them, put them into place. What we would love is to reach out, join our Facebook group. We've got a Facebook group of high performance professionals from all areas of life, from all ages, from all parts of the globe, who want to improve and become better fathers, better husbands, better leaders. And we would love you to jump in and maybe give us some tips or let us know how things have been going. Bro, I'm going to love you and leave you. I know you've got a very important strict schedule today, and you've got a lot of meetings, so I'm going to let you get on with yours. As always, guys, I definitely don't say this lightly, but time is our most valuable commodity, right? So any time that you spend it with us, we're exceptionally grateful. Wade, I will love you and leave you, my friend.
Peace.
Guys, as always, there are multiple ways that you can get Cover Model ready or get that Cover Model body of your dreams absolutely for free with us. The first is, of course, by clicking the link below. You can get started. You can download one of our guides, be it a training, nutritional guide. We have multiple to choose from. Secondly, you can join our free training support group. This is on Facebook, where we do lives. I record a lot of these episodes in there, as you guys have seen. And we add a huge amount of exercise execution video content in there, tips, tricks, downloads, and it's a great community now with nearly 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 people that are all coming together that have the same positive goals. You know, over, let's say, the next 1 to 2 years, our plan is to help tens of thousands of people for free in that group, and we would love you to be a part of it. Last but not least, you also have the ability to book a free strategy call with myself and my team. This, we, you know, used to sell these on the website for anything from £500-600 a go. This is basically a brainstorm where we sit down with you and we talk you through the exact roadblocks that you have ahead of you, the challenges that you've been facing, and really map out, you know, what the next 6 to 9 months, even 12 months looks like for you. I can't stress, this is not a sales call. This is nothing about our program. This is very much about you as a thank you, first and foremost, listening to the podcast. And secondly, we see so much value in adding so much applicable knowledge, knowing that you guys are going to go away and kill it. And of course, you know, some of you guys see the value of that call and go, wow, you know what? It makes absolute sense. I would love some help, and that's great. But first and foremost, it's a give. Whatever you guys are doing, I hope you're staying safe. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. You guys know this is the biggest guilty pleasure that I have, and I love being able to impact as many views as I absolutely can on a weekly basis. Peace. Your life, the story's not over.